It's that time of week, folks. Sit back and relax as you join us on Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. What's up, everyone, and welcome to Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. I'm John, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Nate Funk. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Doing surprisingly well. I think you're sounding a little sleepy there. We're recording late tonight.
Well, we're recording late, and it's the week before. We have exactly 7 days until we leave for fair, our county fair, which is a week long. And then at work, it's been nuts because our sports are starting to ramp up. And we just got done today with training camp for the old football team. So
cool.
I've been working a lot and clipping goats and trying to be helpful around the house, although Tierney's supposed to be resting, and she's doing okay resting, but she's also getting the RV ready and the miscellaneous stuff that she's really good at doing. So we've been monitoring her as well, we're ready to be sitting at fair and kind of relaxing. So
yeah, that'll be fun. For us we just got done with our county fair.
Nice.
We kind of took a step back and took it easy. And just the 4-H minor project. We did, the major to my children. The home good things, which they love doing. I guess I'm wrong. I shouldn't even call them minor. I'm just comparing them to, like, goats, which are a big project, and baked goods are kind of a big project too when you're learning about the math of doubling or having recipes.
Well, I feel like all those projects for those 4-H'ers, I mean, let's be blunt here, it's a big deal for them because just like we do with our farm, they take the time to take care of those chickens and
they
baked goods, and so hopefully they had a good fair with that. And
they did. We ended with a livestock auction. And the girls did very well selling their turkeys in that.
Sweet.
That was kind of the ended on high note. We were able to relax and visit with family and friends, which we've all have been dying to do anyway. And got to see the return of my father to the show ring, showing his Nigerian dwarves.
Sweet.
He did well. It was good. It was good. It was a good week of county fair. We had fun. But I can't lie. I can't wait to get back to work tomorrow.
What's the matter? You had too much fair food?
Oh, my goodness. They had the... Yes, too much fair food.
I'm looking forward to the fair food as well with my extra round self. I tell you what, this last week I felt so out of shape. Like today, it's the end of camp, so the players, they sleep on these big beds that it almost looks like the beds in prison, right? They're bunks and they're made out of metal and they're big. And so we load them in a trailer. And I tell you, I got about halfway through helping these players load up and, lifting all this stuff. And I was like, man, I got to get in shape before Nationals next year because I am hurting. And my legs, I feel like I did 1,000 squats today, which I probably did.
You probably did. Squatting down to pick up those beds and picking them up and moving them, squatting down and set them down. And they're not light. You said wrought iron.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But
well, you know. But otherwise, we're kind of, for us here on the farm, you've still got your fair going. This fair marked the end of our show season, probably. We're kind of shifting gears. We're looking at breeding plans, trying to finalize some ideas. We're looking at what we need to, ship out to go, send the shipper out for semen that we have purchased. And whether there's any out there that we want to acquire, and just kind of planning for the fall at this point. I mean, September is 2 weeks away, just over 2 weeks away.
For sure.
And we usually aim for Labor Day for our first pairings.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm not even wanting to think about that. We're going to be shooting for October this year for all of our breedings and whatnot. So Nate, we have a new segment on the show which you didn't even know about until after we started getting these questions.
We got questions to the new segment and I didn't realize we were saving them for now, and I started answering them, and people were like, oh well, okay.
I was like,
and then John looked, wait, Nate, stop.
You answer a question, and I was like, Nate, no, here, this is why people are sending questions. Oh, okay. So anyway, we have a new segment called The Feed Bag. And what it is we've said on our Facebook page, but we'll say it here too. If anybody has any questions that they'd like answered on the podcast, we'll go ahead and answer those if you either message them to the Facebook page, Ringside American Dairy Goat Podcast, or if you message myself or Nate, or if you're on Instagram and you message us there, whatever. Just shoot us a question that you'd like to hear answered, and you might get answered. This week we have two that I picked out. And the first one go ahead.
I just want to add, if you ask us a question on our personal, on my account or on John's account, rather than the Ringside account, let us know that it's for the mailbag. Yeah. Because otherwise, John and I are both generally helpful people, and if you just message us out of the blue, I'm going to give you an answer.
Yep.
But if you want to hear it on the show, let us know that it's for the mailbag.
For sure. So the first question is from Annabelle, who asks, what's your best advice on bucks when you own multiple breeds? Do you keep one of each breed? Do you lease or go straight AI and no bucks on site? So I'll let you handle that first. I mean, I know you don't have multiple breeds, Nate, but
go for it. Once upon a time we did. Mm-hmm. Kind of want to just, give me a moment here. It kind of depends, do you have space to keep multiple bucks of different breeds? Do you have the room to keep two or three bucks of Oberhasli or two or three bucks of Sonnens and two or three bucks of Togs? That's a question to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the other question to ask yourself, I would think, would be, do you have enough does to keep multiple bucks busy?
Right.
I would say you need at least, four to six does per buck, at least.
We're going to differ on that, but okay.
You're going to 1 to 2?
So... my herd right now, each buck gets three, maybe four. But if we decide to change and maybe hold back junior does to be dry yearlings or whatever, it could be just two for each buck. Who knows? So I don't think that it really matters how, like, you can have a buck breed one doe if you want. It just depends on how you want them used and in your herd. So for us, we won't add, because we have Guernseys and Oberhausley, we're not going to add a Guernsey buck until 2 years from now.
Oh. Now, see, that would be a case where I would think that possibly, you know, the other thing that could happen, rather than buying a buck for the Guernseys, mm-hmm. that you could either lease or AI, you know, for those Guernseys. Also, you could lease or AI to keep the, I want to say keep the genetics viable, I think is what I said once. And then you can, that'll help keep you, the bucks you do have, no, not for the Guernseys, because you have none. Mm-hmm. But if you have, you know, 2 or 3 bucks, it might help you keep your bucks around longer.
Yeah. So right now we have 2 Oberhausley bucks, and they're used on potentially 7 does for this fall, right?
That's 3 to 4 for your herd.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I say it depends.
Right. But if you have... if you have daughters, say you have 3 does, and you breed them all to the same buck, you're going to need another buck the next year, unless right. you want to breed daughters back to their sire, which some people do. So you're going to either want another buck, or you can lease, which leasing to me gets iffy. Like, I would suggest you have a good contract or something signed, just in case anything happens. On either party side. So just make sure you cover your bases with that. I would probably never lease, even if it was like, hey, you know, Nate said, hey, John, you want to lease Leah Cadio for a year? I'd probably be like, not really, because I don't want anything to happen to him, and I wouldn't feel comfortable.
There's a lot of liability in leasing somebody else's animal. I've heard so many horror stories of bucks not coming back, bucks coming back with pretty much permanent ailments. Mm-hmm. You know, there's also, you know, the buck coming back and it being fine, but now from the person who leased, do you get all your service memos? And how much are you going to end up paying? So that's where I think a good, solid lease being written is good, but you also should know the person you're leasing from or that you're leasing to well enough, you know. Do both parties trust each other?
Right, exactly. So,
and are there grounds for that trust?
Right. Yeah. So then there's also, you can AI if you want to go that route. But usually, people have at least 2 bucks just so that way they can kind of play with different genetics and kind of make their own style, right? That's why I do. That's why Nate does. That's why a bunch of people do. So moving on to the next question. Here.
Well, hold on. I just want to say, though, it doesn't make sense to have 2 bucks for, like, 2 does.
Okay.
To me.
Right, and that's why the other options can be right. AI.
I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay, so our next question that was asked by
Ambrose, who is one of our young listeners for the show. So thanks for writing in, Ambrose. Actually, it was a voice message. It was so cute. But Ambrose asks, what's the best way to display ribbons for his does, pear and berry? And these could be fair 4-H ribbons or ADGA ribbons, whatever. I'll start off with, we display ours in our house with, basically, it looks like bale and twine, but it's not, right? It's just a like an old like cotton twine. And then we just hang the ribbons on there. But we also have, for like a more permanent display, which we're going to make for our Finnish champion, Jem, is a shadow box that we're going to make. It's going to have her picture in it and her 3 ribbons that she won to get her championship status. And once ADGA starts printing out certificates will get one of the pretty certificates stating her championship status in there and make it look real pretty. And that's just because she's a real special doe to us, because obviously she's our first permanent champion. Now, like, for every year, well, let me answer the question, and you can answer it, guy.
I will.
For every year, what we do with, like, our ADGA ribbons is we tend to just throw them in a tote. You know, we make sure that we write what the ribbon was from, like, what doe and who. And then we'll just end up throwing them in a tote because you're going to run out of space eventually, right? So that's what we tend to do.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say, again, sorry, it's a Forrester term phrase. It depends. What I want to just say is your first few ribbons, your first ribbons, get creative. Be proud of those. A shadow box, or a special place in your room, in the barn, in the milk room. I have heard of people quite frankly even putting them on Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. You know, whatever way to you seems best to remember that victory, that moment when your doe went grand.
I also see people that use their ribbons and make like quilts with them.
I've seen that. Or pillows.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen people make Christmas wreaths.
Mm-hmm.
With the rosette head. But do what, I guess, sounds or feels right to you. For us, our rosette, we have a string of snowflake lights in our living room. Left over from mm-hmm. Christmas. The kids love them. But we hang each rosette from one of the snowflakes.
Okay.
And you know, they light up, it lights up. We have a few. You know, they go from one window to the other. And some years we have more, some years we have less. That's how we do it during the year. Then somewhere around January, we kind of say, okay, it's time to turn over. New Year is coming. We take them down. We put them, quite frankly, in Ziploc bags. Mm-hmm. And we store them. I've heard of people, so many different ways. I've heard of some breeders have a wall in their milk room or in their barn. And there's a bit of high tensile wire hole that goes across, and they come back from the show and they put it up there, and every year they see how full they can make that wall. I've heard of somewhere, you know, they really don't have a plan for what to do with them,
right?
So I guess my thought is, I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way to display them. I'd say, especially if it's your first few or first one, be so proud of that. Put that someplace in a place of honor, someplace you can see it. Let it motivate you. Let yourself, you know, think back to that moment.
Yes, I agree.
And just get creative with it.
Yep, I agree 100%. So Ambrose, I hope that answers your question. Thank you for writing in or voicing in, I should say. And before we get to our main topic, which is proving out bucks and what that means to us, let's get to the news, which...
Let's start off first taking a moment here.
Yes.
With Linda Campbell.
Yep. So ADGA and quite frankly, the dairy goat industry lost a powerhouse of a woman. For our community, she was a huge champion of the dairy goat industry, and we lost her this week, and that's Linda Campbell. Linda was the owner of Kamari Farm and became one of the first commercial dairy goat dairies in Virginia. She was responsible for exporting goats internationally to 30-plus countries, was president of ADGA and president emeritus. She was on the executive committee and, of course, a director. She was a strong voice for the youth in our industry. I mean, she really pushed for them. She was on many committees. Her life really just revolved around goats and this community, and she will be sorely missed by many. I didn't personally know Linda, but I read a lot of stories the last day and a half about her and her life. And it, you know, makes me sad that I never really got to meet her, but she seemed like a really amazing woman, and she'll be sorely missed by many.
I agree. Yeah.
So I don't know if you wanted to add to any of that, Nate.
No, other than just to just a moment there to remember her by. But...
Our thoughts and condolences are with her family. So moving on to another portion of the news. ADGA has closed all outstanding tickets regarding NG and registrations and all that jazz. If you had a ticket open, it should have been closed. You also should have received an email with steps to reopen it if it has not been resolved yet. So make sure if you have ongoing issues and you know you have tickets that were open, make sure you check your email. And there's also instructions in the email or on ADGA's main site to help you get those back open if they need to be.
Well, and this was all done because there were a number of tickets that were listed as being open where the problem had been resolved, but many of us just being nice, quite frankly, we might respond by telling whomever, thank you, you know, or asking a different question or saying, will this be okay? And keeps the ticket open and the problem may have been solved.
Mm-hmm.
But when they then look at, you know, how many tickets they have, which are remaining open, and, you know, a bunch of them are simply thank yous, or there might be things where it got solved with a larger update, and, you know, a large group got fixed, and they just didn't go through and close all those individual tickets. So what they did is they said, okay, everybody, tickets are closed. If your problem wasn't fixed, they opened the ticket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what's going on here. Just so people aren't thinking that ADGA's going, la, 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 I can't hear you.
Exactly. So also in other news, ballots have been counted, and in many districts, there are new directors that were voted in. So congrats to all the new or previously existing directors that were voted to remain in their seat. One of our friends there, Laura Warren Hughes of Goat Gab, was voted in. So congrats to her. And
congratulations, Laura.
Yeah, good luck on that endeavor. Also, anyone trying to get paper products like those breed portraits or pamphlets with like registration info and all that good stuff.
Right.
Just a heads up, that has not been coded into NG yet. There's no way to order those things at the moment. So I saw a few people this week confused or also looking for those items. And it's just not possible to order them right now. Moving on, Elite List.
The Elite List.
Yep, they came out for Bucks and Does. So congrats to everybody that made that list. I know I have a few friends that did. So congrats to them. Also,
up in LA.
Yes. Linear appraisal is starting to slow down for the year. And as expected, many have not been appraised. So again, I will say as expected, Many have not been appraised. So thank you to all the appraisers out there that put in long days to get as many appraised as they can. And I know some have created extra trips that they weren't planning on taking just to try to help get people appraised as much as they can. So yeah, thank you appraisers out there. We do appreciate y'all. I know, Nate, you guys haven't been appraised this year and it's getting kind of late, but you know, it's kind of how it goes this year with COVID and all the other stuff that was going on.
Well, and that being said, you know, at the same time, it's not over. It's not like
haven't heard
it's not happening. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's slowing down a bit. Few more stops may get scheduled as appraisers have time in availability. I've heard some, you know, are planning out into October. So, you know, if you haven't heard, it's not that you're not going to hear from them. It's just there's a chance you probably won't get appraised.
Right.
There's a chance. It's not a sure thing, but it could happen.
Right. And there's, you know, there's only so many appraisers. And I would suggest anybody that's thinking about getting into appraising and getting licensed to do so, reach out and go for it. You know, I mean, we need as many appraisers as we can get. I think maybe later on in my life, I might be able to, but right now with work and the kiddo and tyranny, and it's just not in the books right now for me, but it would be fun to do just to see all those different herds, but I mean, it's a lot of work, and if anybody thinks they're up for the task, I mean, they really could use more appraisers, so have at.
Right.
Now, yeah, I want to get to our topic for the week. Now, I do want to say one thing, Nate.
Yeah.
Before we get going, Nate and I have different opinions, or the same opinion sometimes, or, you know, whatever. We do have a lot of passion for dairy goats, and with that passion, sometimes we may come off a little bit different than we intend. I know when we were talking about national show, listening back and also getting feedback from a couple people, I don't want people to think that when we're talking about ADGA or national show or whatever, that we're trying to put down all those volunteers that help make that show successful. That's not our intent. You know, everybody that is volunteering during national show or convention or what have you, we appreciate significantly, because without them, it wouldn't happen. If we're talking about certain things that we think could be made better, it's not to try to put anybody down. It's just our opinion on how we think in the future it could be a little bit more successful. So I just wanted to put that out there, Nate.
Well, and I think, you know, on that, you know, I'm a volunteer with our county, with our state organizations. You know, and that's really what I spent the past week doing, is volunteering. You know, even though we weren't showing goats, we were still active with the dairy goat program in our county. And we also are active in the statewide youth and goat program here in New York State. And, you know, being a volunteer, that is huge. You know, that's at, you know, saying I'm willing to do work, not get paid for it. I'm willing to, you know, sacrifice time and effort, sometimes money, to help get something done. And, you know, the volunteers that help with, you know, you name it, the volunteers that help with national show, volunteers that are helping with convention, the volunteers that help on, you know, the various different committees that are in ADGA and within each state organization or regional organization. Let's face it, none of this would work or happen. You know, many of the shows you go to, they're all run by volunteers. Nobody's getting paid for that. And, you know, we really want to tip a hat to those volunteers. The people who volunteer and go out and actually do the stuff that needs to get done, those people are worth their weight in whatever precious metal you want to weigh them by.
Right. I agree. I just wanted to clear that air for everybody. Just let them know that our intent on here is not to put anybody down, but our intent is to inform and also express our opinions on different subjects and matters. And sometimes they might not align with everybody's, and sometimes we may unintentionally hurt some feelings, and that's just not the goal here. So, moving on. Let's get to our topic for the week, which is proving out bucks. And for those that wrote in for topic suggestions, this is one of them. And Nate, what is proving out a buck to you? Because there's lots of different descriptions on what that could mean. What is it for you?
Each individual person who reads the word, the phrase proven buck, you know, this buck is proven, has a different interpretation to this. For me, you know, okay, I've got to look at that word, and I'll tell you. Proven for what? Proven that he may sire progeny successfully and give you kids? Okay. But often I do see it advertised as if the word proven means given quality, when said buck may not be of quality. You know, personally, I don't really look at the bucks where they say proven buck. I can think of many bucks who have proved their worth in a herd, but that's not what I think generally people who say proven bucks are meaning when they advertise he's a proven buck. I have different ideas of what to me would prove the quality of a buck, you know. Daughters, quality of daughters, milk tests on daughters, linear appraisal scores on daughters, and quite frankly, the general appearance and dairy character and dairy strength, how the daughters physically look. But I don't think that's where many people who are using the term proven are going.
Yeah, and I had made a post about it a while ago. And it came up with a lot of people had different ideas on what it meant. Some people, maybe from like a meat goat background, would say, oh, a buck's proven because, yes, they can breed a doe. And they have kids that are born and hit the ground, right? So that's, like you said.
To me, when I look at an ad and it says, he's a proven buck, here's a proven buck, all I look at it as is just that, just what you've stated from the meat goat point of view of, he can mount a doe, breed her, and the kids will pop out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's about all the weight I put in that word.
Right. To me, a buck that's proven, which is a heavy, you know, obviously a heavy-weighted term here. But it's a buck that throws nice progeny, whether it's daughters or bucks, has LA scores behind those daughters or milk test records, whatever you're looking for. And the biggest thing that proves to me that a buck is a successful buck for their breed and is proven is when the buck can be used, whether AI or just driveway bred or whatever, can be used in different herds and is still successful at making either competitive daughters in the show ring or in the milk pail or whatever you're looking for. That to me, that's what proves a buck. Right now, I'm in the process of trying to prove my bucks out, right? So last year, we were selective on who we allowed, but it was people that had does that were obviously tested for any diseases and proof of that. But we used Orion for driveway breedings, and he bred quite a few does and had a bunch more daughters hit the ground than he would have if he was just used in my herd. And in those homes, they'll be either on milk test or they'll be showing and linear appraised eventually. And it'll be more data to prove out what he does. And honestly, if it wasn't for me doing that, I wouldn't have been able to really get a feel of what he's doing different. Or consistently, I should say, for his daughters and sons. And now I have a really good idea of what I can use him for, which helps in my own breeding selections on my farm.
See, now I may look at this and say to you, what you're proving are his genetic impact, not necessarily right. the buck himself. You're proving the genetic impact he can have on a herd, rather than the buck himself, because you're proving that he can lengthen the body, he can lengthen the rump, he can increase the dairy strength.
Right.
Okay, just thinking about Orion himself. You have another buck there who can, you know, his genetics can, or his genetic expression can improve, you know, the width of rump, the depth of body, the width of front end, while maintaining, you know, shoulder, you know, the front end assembly in a nice tight pattern. You know, so to me, it's more that the genetic expression of the buck's genetics are being proven out necessarily than the buck. Yeah, it sounds like a thing of phonetics, I guess. Right. Not even, you know, is it the buck being proven or is it his genetics are being proven?
I think when you're looking to prove out a buck, you're looking to see if really, honestly, I feel like it's more of a caliber to see if this buck really deserves to keep his manhood or if he should go to the meat truck. Right. If a buck's throwing, I guess just to loosely put it, junk daughters where they fall apart or something easily or whatever. They're not of the quality that you're looking. Exactly. Well, everybody has different goals, but it's just, if it doesn't align with what your goals are, then that proof tells you that, okay, I should probably sell this buck to, you know, unregistered or to somebody that maybe can use him. But I think when people just simply say this buck's proven, I think it's a loaded statement.
Well, I think the question, you know, when you hear this buck is proven for sale, proven buck, let's make up, you know, proven half barn farm, Joe Jim Bob. Okay, Joe Jim Bob, we put him up and we say, he's a proven buck, okay, for sale. Well, I guess my thought is, well, in what way is Jim Bob proven? Yep. Well, he's got five daughters on the ground.
Right.
Okay. He can sire kids. If you simply need your doughs bred just to get them in milk, if you need your doughs in milk, you're not worried about the kids, Jim Bob can help you.
Yeah.
You know, someone's going to now name he's proven to make Jim kids. Bob just because of this.
I might.
And then, you know, there's the question, well, okay, we go back and we say, well, what way is Jim Bob proven? Well, his daughter's all milked 10 pounds a day.
Yep. Yeah.
There you go. He's proven to that all his daughters are, you know, sired daughters, which all milk 10 pounds a day.
And that's a big deal to some people that, you know, dairies that need good quality bucks and they can milk out a ton, or people that, you know, it's just like one part aspect of the goal. And that's the thing, like proven means so many things to so many different people. Right. There's no way to just say this is what it means, because I know what exactly it means to me, but other people aren't going to agree with it 100%. Right.
That's why I said it depends.
Yeah, it's the old forester term, depends, you know, and you know, it's there's no easy way to put it. You know, I don't think that my buck, Orion, since we were talking about him, is anywhere close to being proven out yet at all.
Well, in what way do you mean proven out?
To me, a buck that is proven is
in relation to Orion.
We'll say to Orion, okay. I really try not to make it about like our herds, but you know, easier.
We're gonna put Jim Bob with Orion stats.
Yeah.
Jim Bob now has five does in three different herds.
Right.
And they've been shown.
So I want the show wins and all that stuff are okay, right? But I don't like lean on that. So his daughters can do whatever in the ring, right?
Right, but I'm just saying they're being shown though,
right? But I want appraisal scores if possible, so I can kind of get an idea of what Jim Bob's doing. I want milk records, which Jim Bob's daughters aren't on milk record yet, so that doesn't really tell us anything, and that's about it, right? I want as much data on them as well. And if Jim Bob's daughters are showing well and appraising decently well, especially compared to like say their dams, and they're putting enough milk in the pail, then I'd say, okay, this buck is proven. Or say, hey, with all this data, this buck was put on the elite list, and that's another way to prove them out, right?
Well, you kind of hit on something there just in passing.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, compared to their dams.
Right.
So now this is where, to me, ultimately, what when I say, I don't like thinking proven, but I know what the term, why people use it, lack of another term.
Mm-hmm.
A proven buck, as far as what I would look at for proving out a buck, proving out his genetics,
mm-hmm.
is I want to see what changes he can make, hopefully positive changes, that Jim Bob can make in his daughters over the dams. Can he give his daughters a better forerunner than their dams had? Can he level that top line off better than their dams had? Did he increase production proportionately better than their dams? Does he give them that depth of body and barrel that better than their dams had? Did he make positive changes?
Right.
Or did he shorten the rump and make it steeper and narrower? And did he make them hock in? Did he make them loose shouldered?
Yeah, did he create more issues to fix than what he fixed, right?
Right. So. Right. So to me, did he make an improvement in his daughters, or not just his daughters, we focus on daughters, but did he make an improvement and his offspring over their dams, you know, and, you know, that's kind of yes or no. You know, to me, I guess you start thinking about proving a buck. And yeah, you want those numbers. You want those linear scores. You want those DHI scores. You know, show wins are nice, but they can be skewed. I can, you know, last week I could have gone to a show, well, you know, and taken 8 milkers and 2 kids and earned myself a milking leg. You know, I'm not saying I did, but, you know, you can, and then thereby that doe's earned a leg. You do that 3 times, you got a permanent champion. Who did she compete against? Well, the other does in my herd. Not again, not that I'm doing that, but you can do that, and you got a permanent champion. Now this buck has a progeny that has permanent champion.
Which just adds to the information in order to determine for yourself if you think a buck is proven or not.
Right. Now, mind you, you know, I can also take a doe last week to a show where there's, you know, 30 does in her breed and get a reserve or a first in a class but no reserve and say, I think I did pretty well, you know, against, you know, where she came from.
Right.
You know, did the buck make that improvement?
That's something so for everybody to, you know, determine for themselves.
It is. And I think when you see somebody advertising a buck, and I know so many of us do it, where we see somebody saying, proven buck for sale, you know, so much dollars. And we look at him, we all kind of go, what? Well, the question is in the mindset of the person who says he's proven, how is he proven? And don't be, you know, my thought is don't be confrontational about it. Because everyone's got a different view of what that means. But that's really what we're getting at here is everyone has a different view of what proven means. And the person selling that buck may believe that siring kids is as far as that buck needs to be proven. Others of us want to know that he made an improvement in linear, he made an improvement in DHI, he made an improvement in the show ring, he made an improvement in making aesthetically pleasing animals that we want to look at.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with
that. Sorry for going off on that.
No, it's fine. I think that we've wrapped it up pretty well without, you know, hitting the horse in the head a billion times before we determined it was dead, right? I think now, everybody's going to have their own choices on how they want to determine if a buck is proven. You'll never see on my post for my farm page, proven buck, semen available or whatever. Just because I don't claim that my bucks have proven yet. Cause in my own determination, they're not. So,
I wouldn't have a problem with saying this buck is proving himself out to make these changes and enlist some changes that you're seeing in his daughters. He's not proven past tense, but he is proving himself out.
No, see, the way I go around that is I say, buck A, his passes along this trait, and this trait, right? Has good, blah, 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 has bad, blah, 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 or whatever. That's the way I look at it, but I just don't think I throw that term out very often, in fact, at all on my own personal
I
business.
It's a careful term to use. I think in saying that he's being that he is proving out. You got to be careful with it. But so you want to, you know, you say you want to build your Bucks pedigree, though. So this is where, let's move away from the term proving out your Bucks. Okay, but you want to build his pedigree. Okay. We've got a little bit of time here.
What do you mean build his pedigree?
Well, that's the thing. Build his pedigree. So, you know, you look, we got Jim Bob there, okay? Jim Bob is just, you know, half barn farm Jim Bob. No, there's no plus in front of him. No plus, you know, star B. No SDCH. No CH. How do you get that stuff?
Well, yeah, I mean, like we were saying before, it's from appraisals, milk test, all that stuff.
Of his daughters, of
right.
You know, you've got to have certain number of daughters in different herds. You've got to have daughters on milk tests, daughters being appraised. The CH is actually pretty easy. You know, well, pretty easy. Take him to a show. Show him. You want to get a champion on the buck. Otherwise, yes, you do need to get his genetics into other herds, as well as get his genetic going in your herd.
Right.
And that, to me, getting that, if you want to use the word proven or proving, start populating the data on him. There's all these performance programs out there that you can use to just, you know, build his, that's what I mean by build his pedigree, you know, get numbers on him, get a linear appraisal on him,
right.
Get, type evaluation on, you know, his ADGA genetics page, where his where he's had a number of daughters appraised.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know,
And those are the bucks to me that when I look for a buck that I want to either add semen to his tank, I kind of start looking at his daughters and the dams of those daughters and what changes that buck has made in those daughters. Kind of tying back into last week's discussion with Danielle and Grace. You know, getting that looking at that buck and seeing what he's doing, seeing how he's doing, what his daughters look like. And are they what you want from the buck?
Right.
I guess that's when you talk about proving a buck, or proving a buck, you're not going to make the term go away, but you've got to figure out what people want it to mean.
Right. So I think that's a good spot to wrap it. Just know everybody, as you're looking for new bucks, maybe buying a mature buck or buying semen, just know on those posts where you see proven buck, it might not mean what you correlate that term to be. So just make sure you ask the right questions to those sellers and just to verify that your goals are the same and those terms are the same for each of you. And that way you can kind of poke and pry and see if that buck aligns with the term, or if And obviously, if somebody says I have a proven buck for sale and you don't think it's proven, first of all, don't say anything, because that's just kind of rude. But also, just ask for more details. And maybe even though it might not mean he's proven to you, it doesn't mean that, oh, this buck is bad, right? So with all the information that's out there for these registered bucks, unregistered bucks are a totally different game, but these registered bucks, just, you know, use it to inform yourself and select the right animals for you. Nate, next week is fair week for me. So I think I'm pretty positive, like 99% positive. We're going to have some guests on at the fair. I don't know if there's going to be internet connection in order to get you on, so you might have the week off.
Woohoo!
Oh, wow. All right, cool.
No. Yo, people, we all love having time off, but hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll miss being on if we can't do it, but we'll find out.
Yeah. So, I mean, right now there's going to be 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 people that I could potentially have on. I'm sure we'll get Danielle on, since she'll be on the at the fairgrounds. So it's always a pleasure to have her on. And I think Grace Toy is going to be there too. So it'll be a fun time. I do want to say real quick, thanks to I know I said it in the pre-recording last week, Nate, but thanks to you and Danielle and Grace for taking over the reins last week. I really appreciate you guys allowing me to have a little bit of time off there.
Well, you're welcome. You know, you've helped us all out yourself, so was the least we could do.
Yeah. So it was a good episode. I enjoyed listening. It felt very weird not being able to interject a couple times, but I dealt with it.
You know, sometimes when I want to interject on you know, podcasts or other radio shows that I listen to, I find myself, you know, yelling at the radio, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yes, but if you did this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Or no, what are you saying? Yeah.
Why you do that? Oh.
You should have asked, you know, this.
The guy in the car next to me is going, "What the heck?"
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. I think that's a good spot to wrap her up. I know you've got a long work week ahead, and so do I. Yep. So, yeah, everybody, thank you for joining us. And Nate, thank you for joining me again this week. This has been Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.
Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast, is not an affiliate of the American Dairy Goat Association. All opinions or information regarding the ADGA does not represent the registry.